Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Mayhem at a parade in Liverpool, England, where a car plowed into a crowd of people celebrating a soccer victory. The BBC's Sarah Mulcairn.
The man has been detained after a road traffic collision. The Merseyside police, they say, a car collided with a number of pedestrians on Water Street near the city centre.
Vice President J.D. Vance speaking to a crowd at Arlington National Cemetery on this Memorial Day.
Together, let us build a better country, a more perfect union, and strive to be the kind of nation worthy of the sacrifice of the people that we honor today.
Former longtime Congressman Charles Rangel of New York is being remembered as a trailblazer. He founded the Congressional Black Caucus. Yvette Clark is the current chair, and she says,
Charlie's lived experiences made him the man that he was, and only he could walk that journey.
Charles Rangel was 94. CBS News Brief.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
From the Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. If you're celebrating the Memorial Day holiday and you're overindulging, plan to have a designated driver or utilize a rideshare app. But if someone you know is in a pinch, AAA is offering an option to keep impaired drivers from getting behind the wheel. The Tow2Go program means anybody in a bind who doesn't have a way home except for their car but has had too much can call AAA and they'll tow your car where you need it to go. You do not need to be a AAA member to use the service. It's available through tomorrow morning. And a proposal at the state capitol would expand early voting hours across Wisconsin. Joanne Krulatz reports.
The Republican-sponsored bill would address inequalities between voting in urban and rural areas, providing a 20-hour minimum for in-person absentee voting without needing to make an appointment. The measure would also establish a funding mechanism to help municipalities meet minimum hour requirements. Proponents say adding more opportunity for early voting will help minimize congestion and possible errors on Election Day.
And anytime you're in a car, you should be wearing a seatbelt. That's what authorities are focusing most on for the next few days. Law enforcement agencies across the country and across Wisconsin have started their annual campaign to reinforce seatbelt wearing. Melissa Kay has more.
The annual Click It or Ticket campaign begins May 19th and runs through June 1st. Buckling up is one of the easiest and most effective steps you can take to survive a crash. Wisconsin law allows officers to stop and cite motorists for not wearing a seatbelt, and drivers can be fined for every unbuckled passenger in their vehicle. The goal of the Click It or Ticket campaign is to reduce fatal crashes and coincides with the first summer travel holiday.
You can find more Wisconsin news at civicmedia.us. Hope you're having a safe holiday weekend. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Red Sox. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers opening a three-game series this Memorial Day at AmFam Field in Milwaukee against the Boston Red Sox. We'll recap the game later tonight. The Crew with a 6-5 win over the Pirates Sunday at PNC Park. Overall, another good showing from starter Logan Henderson. The win going to reliever Jared Koenig. The Brewers coming back with clutch hits in the eighth, and closer Trevor McGill earned the save in the ninth. Pat Murphy.
McGill, that was remnants of our closers of the past. The best four or five times. We're showing signs. I mean, didn't have to win this game the way it was going. Four hits and three in the first and then looking behind us, and we've seen this a bunch this year. It was really just like sick to my stomach. And then bam, bam, bam. You know, you just knew those guys. I mean, and they're all behind in the count and still battling with, I think every hit was with two strikes or nearly every hit. And the Pirates are playing as good a baseball as they've played all year.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 40s. Cloudy tomorrow with a few showers, even some thunder, high upper 60s. Better shower chance Wednesday, highs to the mid 60s. Heat returns to the area for the rest of the upcoming week. Currently at 64 degrees.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, author Laura Bird talks about some of the upcoming books for your summer reading list and how she finds out about those new books that are being released.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We, as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Do you know that 17 veterans per day take their own lives? That breaks out to one every 85 minutes. That's 6,000 men and women who have served our country that die every year from suicide. In fact, 1,315 of these souls took their lives in the Midwest alone last year, 109 from Wisconsin. My next guest has dedicated his life to preventing these deaths. His name is Lonnie Rethaber. He is the executive director of Patriot Canines of Wisconsin. We're here to talk about the efforts of Lonnie and his amazing group and the amazing dogs that are paired with veterans. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Lonnie. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Maggie. I appreciate being here today.
So let's start at the beginning, or sort of the most basic. Why are canine companions so incredibly effective at helping veterans that are struggling with mental health and other issues like PTSD?
I think my personal opinion, there's a lot of scientific data that goes across this, but my personal opinion is dogs have been with us for 20 to 40,000 years. And it's scientifically proven that in the dog's DNA, that dogs know how to recognize facial expressions. They know how we act and feel. It's the closest animal to us besides the cat. You know, and I think that's why. I think we just have this relationship that goes back to our beginning, as humans.
So, Lonnie, I wanted to ask you about this because I have this discussion with my friends that swear by cats, and I don't have anything against cats. But cats don't work as well for this purpose as well as dogs do. There's something particularly unique about the canine-human bond. So can you talk to us a little bit more about that? What are the things that dogs can be trained to identify when it comes specifically to these mental health, anxiety, PTSD, depression, night terrors, those kinds of things? What is it about dogs that makes them so much better able at identifying humans, frankly, in some crisis?
So the core thing that we teach here is our dogs are alert to cortisol. Cortisol is what the hormone that we give off when we have the fight or flight, or our sympathetic nervous system is engaged, which is the fight, flight, or freeze. And that's what most veterans suffering from PTS are dealing with daily. That cortisol is just constantly being dumped into their system, and they're always either in fight or flight. And that's the biggest thing. And our dogs are taught how to smell that, alert the veteran to that issue, And then they're taught to do deep pressure therapy, which is a tactile stimulation that gives pressure to the veteran that engages our parasympathetic nervous system, which is kind of, you look at the sympathetic as our gas pedal, the parasympathetic is kind of our brake pedal. And that's the core of our program, is what our dogs do. But I think all dogs, for the most part, know how to do this. I think us as humans don't allow the dog to do its job most of the time. I always talk about when people come home from work and they're a little hungry, a little hangry maybe, and they come home, what's the first thing that happens? A lot of times, you know, that dog's jumping on you and wanting to get it, show some love. And a lot of times we kick the dog out or say, I got to make supper first or something like that. If we just take 5 minutes and just love on that dog, I think our nights would be a lot better.
Well, Lonnie, I'm going to now use you as an excuse for spending even more time with my little dog, Finny, when I get home from work every day. I was reading up about Patriot Canines. You are based out of Wausau, but you serve veterans across a broad geographic area. I wanted to ask you, what does it mean when you write that dogs can do deep pressure therapy to activate the parasympathetic portion of our nervous system?
So deep pressure therapy is more of a tactile stimulation. People with autism using weighted blankets or weighted purses, weighted backpacks. It's proven, you know, I guess the best way to analogy is you swaddle a baby, you wrap a baby in a blanket really tight, and it helps the baby calm down. And that works for us too. What's the scientific terminology? I couldn't give it to you because I have somebody that teaches that here that's qualified to answer that question a little bit better than I am. But that's the basically how it works. And every person likes deep pressure therapy a different way. We teach dogs to lay on people's chests. People can lay down, cross their lap, cross their feet. Some of our dogs are big enough where just the weight of the dog's head on the lap helps. Mm. Me personally, I like when the dogs, when I'm standing and giving talks and things like that, both of my dogs are taught to post, which is dog is in between my legs and I can kind of squeeze the dog. And we also teach the 5-4-3-2-1 method, which is using our senses with the dog. So the first thing I always feel when I have the dog between my legs is the dog's heat and the dog's breathing, and I can even feel the dog's heartbeat sometimes. So it really takes my what's going on in my head, and I focus it on my dog. And that takes practice, and we practice that with our veterans for almost 6 months. I always tell everybody, we're kind of rewiring your brain. Doesn't just happen overnight. You got to learn how to do some of these things, just like any type of therapy.
Folks, that's Lonnie Ruthauber. He is the executive director of Patriot Canines of Wisconsin, a nonprofit organization based in Wausau, serves vets throughout the region that trains psychiatric service dogs and pairs them with vets who are impacted by military-related post-traumatic stress, have suffered a TBI or a traumatic brain injury, or those who have experienced military-based sexual trauma. What's different about Patriot Canines? There are a number of organizations that do pair service dogs with vets. What sets apart your organization, Lonnie?
So we use the community model of training service dogs versus the national model. And that's something that the industry is trying to go away from, coining two different types. But that's basically what we do. I always call us a little bit of a hybrid, because we do train the dogs for almost a year prior to them being matched with a veteran. But then we train and finish the dog off over a 6 month period. So a veteran has to commit to our program for 6 months versus some of the other organizations. You may get paired with a dog, spend a weekend with them training. Some of them are up to 2 weeks. That's more the national model. The dog is completely finished, and they teach the veteran how to handle the dog over a short period of time, and they go home with the dog. We're spending 6 months with that veteran and that dog together. I always tell the veterans, I'm inducting you into the canine lifestyle, because mm-hmm. that's what it is. Everywhere you go, it's like having a baby. You know, everywhere you go, you got to plan with taking your dog with you, because you need that dog to be with you as a service dog, and you need to plan for that. So that's the difference.
It is. You're thinking about both of you together all of the time, and that takes a lifestyle adjustment that I think people do need some time to grow into. Lonnie, your story about how you got involved with Patriot Canines is quite touching and unique. Could you share with our listeners a bit about how you got involved in this organization?
Sure. Well, I ran a local trucking company. I was operations manager. It was veteran-owned, veteran-operated. I'm a veteran as well. And every year we did a campaign for Christmas for a local nonprofit that serves veterans. And in 2018, we picked Patriot Canines. I didn't start this organization. A lady named Sarah Tewitt did. She started it and got us off the floor, so to speak, which took a lot of work. We had Sarah come and speak at our Christmas party, and I kind of fell in love with the organization. I have trained dogs for a long time. I'm in the sport of Shih Tzu or IGP, IPO. It's been many different names over the years. It's basically competition. I guess I hate using the word police dog, but it's kind of similar to police dog work. I've been doing that for almost 20 years now. And I asked Sarah, I was like, hey, I want to volunteer. And I don't think she thought it was serious. I think a lot of people say I want to volunteer and they really never really do. So about a couple of weeks went by and she never got back to me. So I called her up. I'm like, hey, I want to volunteer. So I started volunteering and helped get us into the building we're currently in and things like that. And up until that point, everybody was 100% volunteer. And I was here at lunch one week with Sarah doing something, and she goes, I really need to hire somebody because this is getting bigger than I can handle part-time. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'll do it. And long story short, I gave up 22 years in the trucking industry and came here. And after a while, Sarah left due to medical reasons, and I took over the executive director role. I started here as a program development manager, though. That was my title when I started here.
Wow, that is Lonnie Runthaber. He's been the ED at Patriot Canines of Wisconsin since 2021. How many vets has your organization paired with a canine companion over the lifetime of the organization?
107 graduates to date, and we have another 15 that are scheduled to graduate by August, and we're starting another class this year of 5 that will probably graduate in January of 2026.
107.
Doesn't sound like a lot, but you know, with 18 months to 2 years of training per dog, that's a lot.
I was just going to say, how long does it take for each dog? Because that's the amount of skill and training time and hours with each of these animals. And then, frankly, training the vet that's going to be the owner of the animal on how to handle the animal to build that relationship. You said 18 months. Do you have any idea what the total number of like training hours it is?
The veteran themselves with the dog have to have 300 training hours just themselves. And wow. I imagine the dog are with a trainer nonstop. We have our prison program at Red Granite Correctional Institute. Those trainers there are with the dogs 24/7, so it's thousands of hours per dog.
Thousands of hours per dog. I want to ask you a little bit more about that training program at Red Granite, because in my view of this, Lonnie, you're doing such good both on the initial training end, working with those incarcerated persons, and on the back end with the veterans, because dogs bring goodness wherever they are to whomever is interacting with them. Folks, our special guest, in celebration, in acknowledgement, and in deep reverential respect for our vets and our military, our special guest for Memorial Day is Lonnie Runthaber. He is the executive director of Patriot Canines of Wisconsin. As Lonnie just told each and every one of you, they have 107 dogs that have gone through their program and been placed with veterans, 15 in the training program today. To put that in context, folks, helping each and every one of those vets, hopefully we can take the number of vet suicides, which was 109 in 2021, down to 0. Every dog coming out of Lonnie's program is one small canine paw print step in the right direction in that regard. We're going to take care of a little bit of business. We're going to be right back here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Happy Memorial Day. Stay with us. We'll be back with Lonnie and more discussion of Patriot Canines after these brief messages.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Summers in Worthington, Minnesota bring fun, and a good portion of that fun happens around our beautiful 800-acre Lake Okabena. Our community is built around it, and it has great walleye fishing and several lakeside parks. This June 13th and 14th, we'll have our windsurfing regatta and music festival. It's free. Come and see the windsurfers, eat from over a dozen food vendors, and attend free lakeside concerts on our professional city stage, this year featuring Viva Knievel and Cooper Allen. Check us out. We're Worthington, Minnesota, and we're certainly worth a look.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Today we're looking at a principle called the Gingles test that federal courts use when determining whether a gerrymandered redistricting map is a violation of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. How that test is interpreted can determine whether minority voters can elect the candidate of their choice or their vote is diluted by an anti-voter state legislature. A group of black voters sued the North Carolina legislature in 1982, arguing their voting districts violated the Voting Rights Act by diluting their vote and keeping black North Carolinians from electing the candidate of their choice. Before it came to trial, Congress clarified the VRA to say intentional discrimination didn't need to be proved, just the effect of discrimination was enough to be a violation of Section 2. Thornburg v. Gingles created a three-part test for federal courts to use when considering whether a VRA violation had occurred. It stipulates the minority group is sufficiently large and geographically compact to constitute a majority in a single-member district. The minority group is politically cohesive, usually voting the same way, and the white majority votes sufficiently as a bloc, usually defeating the minority's preferred candidate. As shown in the recent overturning of Louisiana's new congressional map, the interpretation of geographically compact and politically cohesive still leaves wiggle room for discrimination. We have more on Gingles and the VRA at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. As part of our celebration of Memorial Day, our acknowledgement, our public expression of respect for all of our current service members and those that have served our vets, we've got a special guest joining us. His name is Lonnie Renthaber. He is the executive director of Patriot Canines of Wisconsin. Patriot Canines of Wisconsin, as we've been discussing, is unique and different for a couple of reasons. One, in their training model for the dogs, it's an extensive training program. They don't just hand over dogs to vets and say, see you later. They do a lot of time with the vet and the canine companion, making sure that the vet has a bond, knows how to work with the animal well. Secondly, the dogs are entirely free to vets, which I think is really important. Lonnie, we're going to get to how vets can learn more and sign up, but let me just drop the website here because vets can go there and find out if you want to volunteer, donate money. Here's where you go to find out more about Patriot Canines of Wisconsin, www.patriotcanines, K as in the letter K, 9 as in the number 9, S, patriotcanines.org. We'll put that website address in our show notes. You can find those on Spotify, Apple Pods, and of course at civicmedia.us/shows. One of the other interesting pieces of your program, of your organization, Lonnie, is that men who are incarcerated at the Red Granite Correctional Institution actually help with that initial training. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, we have our Pause for Patriots. That's what we call it. There's the Pause for Patriots program. And it's a program where we have incarcerated persons training, raising and training our service dog candidates. So we purchase or are donated quality bred service dog candidates from 8 to 12 weeks of age, and we place them at Red Granite. And they are raised and trained by two inmates or two persons, incarcerated persons with each dog. They live with them. They go to work with them. They go to school with them. They do all the stuff that they do every day with people, instead of being a kennel dog. That some organizations have dogs just in a kennel until it gets worked. Our dogs are with people all the time. They go to eat with them and everything. So it's really, really nice. We have some of the guys that have been with our program for coming on 4 years now and have raised three dogs, and they're becoming super trainers themselves. And these are quality trainers that I would hire on the outside if that would ever be an option at some point someday. Really good trainers they're developing there.
Isn't that amazing that at every stage in these dogs' lives, they are impacting, showing love. I always like to say dogs train us as much as we train them in all kinds of ways. Folks, if you're just joining us, our special guest is Lonnie Renthaber, the Executive Director of Patriot Canines of Wisconsin. Lonnie, let's talk a little bit about how vets can get signed up if they are struggling, if they need some help. Tell us, how does a vet qualify for your program? How do they reach out? What's the process like?
A lot of our veterans come from being from the VA. The VA sends them to us. We get a lot of phone calls initially. However, you can get more information off our website, patriotcanines.org. There's an information tab there. We don't have an application process on the website because it's very extensive. We do background checks. We do a full application, interview, doctor's letters, we need a co-handler. There's a lot of qualifications, so it's way too much to put on the website. But if you can, a veteran in need can go there and fill out the little questionnaire, and it will come to we have a veteran coordinator and a veteran liaison. They both get that email, and one of those people will reach out to you within 24 hours of us receiving that email.
Folks, again, you can check that out, fill out that form, do that first outreach so that folks can get in touch with you if you feel like you would benefit from this program. Again, that website is patriotcanines.org. Lonnie, I just wanted to ask you, how has this program impacted some of the veterans who have been paired with canine companions? What are some of the stories, the results, the impacts that people have shared with you over your time as the executive director?
We've had veterans that were homebound, could never really leave their house much more, just to go across the street, maybe to go to a quick trip or something like that, go back to school, get married. We've had veterans get not just their bachelor's degree, but master's degrees and cross the stage with their dogs. We've had veterans get, again, like I said, get married, rekindle. I think the most important thing is they rekindle their relationships with their families, because a lot of us veterans come home and kind of burn a lot of bridges. And I think just getting their family support back is one of the biggest things, is empowering them to remake those connections. And I think one of the things I learned from this program is how much the community actually cares about us, because I wish I would have known it 15 years ago, how much the community supports veterans. It's like, it's unbelievable to me. It's really humbled me over the last few years being here.
I think it's one of the people sometimes don't know how to support vets, but I think it's a universally held feeling that, hey, I of course want to be thankful, respectful, and acknowledge and support veterans in my family and in my community and in my workplace. Folks, if you are asking yourselves, how do I help? Lonnie has an answer for you, and that is Patriot Canines of Wisconsin. They've had our back. Help them know that we have their back through a canine companion. Again, you can check out more and get more information. Donate your time, volunteer, donate some shekels if you got extra. Get involved. If you're a vet suffering, please do reach out. That's www.patriotcanines.org. Lonnie, thank you for your service. Thank you for your continued service to our veterans community here in Wisconsin and beyond. You are seen and appreciated. Folks, that's going to do it for Lonnie and I. I'll be back after the bottom of the half hour with more special acknowledgement of Memorial Day. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
From the Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Governor Tony Evers is pushing for more support from the state legislature after a statewide tour highlighting his administration's accomplishments in workforce development. Republican lawmakers removed more than 600 measures from the governor's proposed budget, including investments in apprenticeship programs, the Worker Connection Pilot Program, and the Workforce Innovation Grant Program. During the tour, Evers also highlighted a lawsuit against the Trump administration's cuts to AmeriCorps. And a relief for many patients, UW Health has announced a new multi-year contract with Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. Officials say it will guarantee healthcare access for Anthem members at various UW Health facilities across the state. The two companies had been negotiating for months and just kept doing extensions of the same deal. According to a press release, the newly agreed-upon contract will cover employer-based Medicare Advantage, Medicaid, and Affordable Care Act marketplace plans. And every spring, officials across the state have to remove abandoned boats from Wisconsin shorelines. It can be a really time-consuming process, and every year in Milwaukee, it's almost turned into a spectator event people show up to watch. And now, state lawmakers are proposing a bill that would add hefty fines for folks who leave their boats out. Joanne Krulatz has more.
The proposal comes days after a cabin cruiser named Deep Thought was pulled from the Milwaukee shoreline and a yacht named Sweet Destiny was towed from the St. Croix River. The proposed legislation would give owners 30 days to collect their boat after law enforcement authorities deem it abandoned. If the boat isn't removed, the owners could face a $10,000 fine and up to 9 months in jail.
You can find more Wisconsin stories and all our shows anytime on the Civic Media app or on our website, civicmedia.us. On your Memorial Day, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. George Wendt passed away earlier this week. Most people know him as Norm from Cheers, where he spent 11 seasons and was the only cast member, including Ted Danson, to appear in all 275 episodes. In addition to Cheers, his credits include Fletch, Airplane 2, Outside Providence, and of course, Bob Swirsky, one of the Chicago superfans. Here are a couple fun facts about George Wendt. He got his start in Chicago at Second City, but his first job there was sweeping floors. He's actually the uncle to Ted Lasso himself, Jason Sudeikis. Here are some fun Norm lines to remember George Wendt by.
What's shaking, Norm?
All four cheeks and a couple of chins, Coach.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, low in the upper 40s. Cloudy tomorrow with a few showers, even some thunder, high upper 60s. Better shower chance Wednesday, highs to the mid 60s. Heat returns to the area for the rest of the upcoming week. Currently at 68.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though. Because
probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, author Laura Bird talks about some of the upcoming books for your summer reading list, and how she finds out about those new books that are being released.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, the big, brutal bill has been passed by the House. Stay tuned to see what happens in the Senate. It sure is going to be a rocky, rocky ride. I have a fabulous guest with me next because one of the areas that I don't think has gotten enough focus is the impact of the big, brutal bill and other so-called efficiency measures, what I'm going to call the billionaire overlord, post-pubescent, techno-bro slashes, is the impact of all of these things on veterans. And it is so important as we approach Memorial Day to be hyper-focused on this. So very thankful, very privileged to be joined by Allison McManus. She is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She is the managing director of their National Security and International Policy section. Prior to joining the center, Allison was the managing director at the Freedom Initiative, where she advocated for political prisoners in the Middle East and North Africa. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Allison, and thanks so much for making time. I know you're in D.C. My best wishes and condolences to the entire D.C. community. I know the embassies are embedded right within the whole Capitol framework, and it must be a really somber afternoon in Washington, D.C.
Thanks for having me, Maggie, and I really appreciate the sentiments that you offered in the last segment, just about the heinous act of violence against these two embassy staffers. So appreciate your attention to this issue and you know your audience being aware of what's happened here.
We will do our best, and we do our best together. So let's turn to veterans. We know that the campaign to basically break government, and in somewhat haphazard but also a comprehensively cruel fashion from the Trump administration, that they have targeted the Department of Veterans Affairs. Tens of thousands of folks are going to lose jobs. Let's talk specifics. What are the programs? What are some of the job eliminations, the RIFs, if you will, that have occurred specifically impacting veterans?
Yeah, thanks, Maggie. I mean, you know, this is an issue that I'm really glad that you're focusing on, because there's a number of ways that we can see that the Trump administration's agenda, we tend to call it the DOGE agenda, but I liked your formulation of the tech bro billionaire consortium.
Yeah, don't forget the barely post pubescent. It's important to paint the picture for folks.
You know, it's all in there. There's a number of ways that we've seen an impact on the veteran community. And first, I just want to give a little bit of an overview of like what the needs are of the veteran community. Who are we talking about when we talk about veterans? So there's almost 16 million veterans in the United States. I know you're in Wisconsin. There's around 300,000 veterans in Wisconsin. So we're looking at around 6% of the population. Many veterans, around half, are over the age of 65. Veterans have really complex needs that differ from the rest of the population, whether these are health needs related to their service. That includes combat veterans, but any veteran, you know, may have different health needs because of the exposure that they had in their service. And then, of course, there's the mental health needs as well that are increased in a veteran community. Over 40% of veterans have been diagnosed with some kind of mental health or advanced behavioral health needs. The other thing I want to mention is veterans have complex socioeconomic needs. This is something that's often under-discussed. There's a bit of a stigma around it. 1 in 4 active duty service members are insecure. 11% of veterans 1.2 million veterans utilize SNAP benefits, and veterans often utilize Medicaid, a lot of times in as a supplement to other federally funded healthcare programs, particularly around their families.
I don't mean to be repetitive, but these statistics are worthy of repetition, Allison. Can you give us those stats about food insecurity, Medicaid usage, these other socioeconomic complexities that are frankly come together in a unique way for vets?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're talking about Medicaid, 850,000 military members, so these are active duty members, use Medicaid in addition to TRICARE, which is the primary coverage that the military offers. That's including 220,000 children of active duty military. 3.4 million children of veterans are covered by Medicaid. So again, huge reliance on Medicaid, particularly as a supplement for military or veteran families. 1.2 million veterans live in households that utilize SNAP benefits. And this is because 1 in 4 active duty service members and 11% of veterans are classified as food insecure. Around a quarter of veterans are economically insecure, which means they may be above the poverty line, but are still not able to afford, you know, the essentials and so live in economic precarity. For a lot of veterans, for a lot of folks, joining the military can be an engine of social mobility, particularly for those who come from disadvantaged backgrounds, but it by no means suggests that you leave the military and that you don't still maybe struggle economically. So really what we have is a population that has increased needs, and that is much more likely, frankly, to rely on federal benefits, and as they well deserve. I mean, there's a population who has often faces these increased needs because of the sacrifices that they've made to the country. This is why the Department of Veterans Affairs exists. Over half of veterans utilize services from the VA. And again, sometimes these are healthcare services. These can be pension funds. These can be loans for housing. I'll reveal to the audience, my husband's a veteran. I'm in our home that we were able to buy with a VA loan. So there's a variety of different ways that the VA serves the veteran community. Now, sorry for that long-winded.
This is essential to the discussion.
Yeah, exactly. So just to clarify for the audience, like, why is the VA so important? Now, in terms of what we're seeing already, just want to be clear to distinguish between what's happened so far and the impact on vets versus what we see on the horizon, because it's already really bad and I'm really, really worried that this is going to get worse. So with the VA, so first of all, we've seen this DOGE agenda target federal workers across the government. Veterans constitute around 30% of the federal workforce. Some agencies have a higher proportion of veterans. Department of Defense, for instance, is almost 50%. VA is around 30%. So anytime that we hear about layoffs, anytime
picture
that we
a
hear
veteran.
Yeah, exactly. We can assume that this is going to impact veterans. Veterans do have some additional protections, but it doesn't mean that they're exempt from the harm to the federal workforce that we've seen across the board. At the VA, this is compounded because, of course, this means interruptions in service to vets. And so here we've seen all this flip-flopping. There's been hiring freezes. There have been layoffs. They've brought people back. It's like paralyzed the VA's ability to plan, to meet the needs. Even before the Trump administration, the Biden administration had tried to invest in making sure that the VA could meet shortfalls that it had in staffing, just to be able to meet the needs of vets. So this is an agency that was already struggling to meet the needs and now is further impacted. Just a couple of examples of where this has caused harm already. The Veterans Crisis Line, this is like a last line of defense for veterans who are in crisis. This is a life-saving group of folks who are facing now this decreased efficiency, spread thin, and this is actually impacting the efficacy of the Veterans Crisis Line to be able to meet the needs of those who are calling in. That's like an immediate harm. In the long term, we're also seeing the impact on research and development. So these are life-saving measures that can have impact far into the future, and not only for veterans, but a lot of the research that comes out that's funded by the VA, including things like CAT scans, the nicotine patch. These are breakthroughs that benefit the American people writ large. So this is like, we're already seeing that there's been impacts. And now what the administration's proposing, an additional 80,000 personnel that might be cut. So we could estimate that there's like been around 5,000 that have either been laid off or who have left the VA. We're already seeing what the harm is there. Multiply that to 80,000. This is absolutely going to be devastating to the services that veterans receive.
It's folks, this is Allison McManus of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She's the managing director of their National Security and International Policy Group. I don't even want to, I always hesitate to even address the efficiency question, Allison, but efficiency means delivering the services or product that you need to deliver in the most cost-effective, you know, least amount of inputs required, right? What you have when you devastate workforces and defund massive programs is you do not have efficiency, you have destruction. And that's what's happening. It started, right, with the 5,000. I worked for a long time in government, and I know well our department's level of efficiency. And when we had major upticks in work, how incredibly stressed and burnout was an actual thing. I know folks that work in the VA. Burnout is an actual thing. My mom was a nurse in the VA. Burnout was an actual thing then. And we're about to see one of the largest layoffs in our nation's history out of the VA alone.
Donna, yeah.
We're coming up on time here, Allison. Can you hang around for another segment?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to.
Perfect. And thank goodness. This is so important. I do not want to rush. Folks, again, we've got Allison McManus. We're talking about the Trump administration's chainsaw to the systems and benefits that help support veterans in this country. Such an important discussion to have as we are approaching Memorial Day. Of course, Allison generously sharing that her husband has served. So really excited to have you with us. So we're looking at on the horizon the 80,000 potential additional layoffs on top of the 5,000. We're going to dig into what else is on the horizon. We're going to look at the hundreds of thousands of disabled vets and how the big, brutal bill may be impacting them. All of this still to come. Keep it locked, because I know everybody listening knows at least one vet and cares deeply about them. If you do, keep it locked. This wonderful discussion continues on the other side. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
In Flanders Fields is one of the most notable poems written during World War I, perhaps even the most famous war poem of all time. Canadian physician and Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae wrote it on 3rd May of 1915, after he witnessed the death of his friend, Lieutenant Alex Helmer, 22 years old, the day before.
In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow, between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe, to you from failing hands we throw, the torch be yours to hold it high, if ye break faith with us who die. We shall not sleep, though poppies grow, in Flanders Fields.
In Flanders Fields was first published in December 1915. Within months, the poem came to symbolize the sacrifices of all those who were fighting for in the First World War. Today, the poem continues to be part of the memorial ceremonies around the world.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Senator Tammy Baldwin presses EPA head Lee Zeldin on Great Lakes funding at a hearing on Capitol Hill. The exchange came just 1 week after Clean Wisconsin, the Healing Our Waters Coalition, and Alliance for the Great Lakes met with Baldwin to stress the importance of fully funding the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Zeldin ended up going on record saying the protections would be funded. Wisconsin's muskie season is here. Northern muskie season opens May 24th and runs through the end of the year. This is the 70th anniversary of the muskellunge being proclaimed our official state fish back in 1955. The biggest muskie ever caught was in 1949 near Hayward, weighing in at more than 69 pounds. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got my senior producer, Jamie, with me for this next segment because we thought we would talk a little bit about what everybody's got planned for the Memorial Day weekend. Jamie, do you have anything special lined up?
You know, it's been one of those relaxing weekends at our house, and we always kind of like that. We don't get many of those, but, you know, when you get the opportunity to kind of put the phones down for a few minutes, hit up some of those really great remembrance ceremonies for all of the veterans and all of those who have lost their lives protecting this great country. And, you know, you take those opportunities to do so and, you know, put away the news for just a little bit.
Yeah,
easier that said than done.
The putting away the news part is what is going to be my number one objective, and to actually take some time in observance, in memorial. I know later we and on Friday, right, we shared the whole huge list of all the events going on across the state. For me, I think being able to get to the West Dallas Memorial Day observation today with the flyover and the color presentation by West Dallas PD, that was absolutely fabulous. The Nathan Hale Chamber Choir was there. So that was a big, yeah, big highlight for me from this Memorial Day weekend. The other thing for me that was important to do is I have a number of uncles and close friends that have served. Now they're still living, but I generally like to just check in, say hello, ask them how they may be taking some remembrance, because most of them have lost a friend in service. So I like to just check in and let people know that I am thinking about them for sure.
Yeah. And this is a big one for us as a family, because Corey's dad was a Vietnam veteran who lost his battle to Agent Orange just a couple of summers ago. And he was actually given a presented with the family was, I should say, with a note from President Biden when he was still in office. And so it's always kind of a big deal in our family to say thank you and to make sure that we are also doing our due diligence, because as we've learned, as we learned last week on your show, and as we're learning today, you know, these veterans, there's a lot of things that aren't exactly, we don't always do our best by them, right? And I always think of it as these are people who chose to do something that a lot of us aren't brave enough to do. And so we always take a few minutes to make sure we remember that multiple times a year, but especially on days like Memorial Day, Veterans Day, that's always very important. Time to remember Corey's dad too. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, when we look at the moment that we're in, especially with the bill, the big brutal bill that was passed last week, and you know, so many of our vets, whether we're talking about the cuts that are being made to the VA and the tens of thousands of people that are losing their jobs, right? And the fact that in our nation's largest mass layoff event in history, which is what the billionaire overlord and his post-pubescent boys are doing via Doge, veterans comprise the single largest demographic group of federal employees.
Yep.
So those layoffs have a direct impact on veterans. Then it's, you know, a bad situation made worse by the draconian cuts to Medicaid that are going to be necessary and Medicare, right? And again, the VA, all of these things are placing our veterans in a position of great peril. And I always, you know, part of, I think what we try to do on the show and to varying degrees of success, perhaps, Jamie, is get past what politicians are saying so we can pay attention to what they're doing. Donald Trump, for whatever people may say about him, I believe is an effective communicator. And people laugh at me when I say that. And I'm like, it's not the words. Yes, it is not the words that he's saying. It's not grammatical. It doesn't make syntactical sense. It's just word salad. They call it the weave. It's that he people believe that he believes what he's saying. It seems genuine.
Yep.
And that can be dangerous because it's easy to get whisked away with what the guy's saying. But if we look at what Donald Trump has done through the big brutal bill and the billionaire overlords and done to veterans and to their detriment, that's what we need to be paying attention to, what the actual impacts of the of these pieces of legislation and these actions undertaken by the Trump administration.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the perils to veterans. And I mean, we also can't forget the perils to their families, right? Absolutely. Because when we're talking about some of these cuts, now we're talking about some of the care that these veterans need that families might not be able to provide, or services that, you know, they're already trying to get some of these veterans too, and driving long distances. It happens in this state all the time. And now we're already making some of these cuts. So it's unfortunate. And we're going to have some more great groups joining next hour to talk about some of those things and some of the programs that are available to families and to the veterans as well. So thank you to the military families out there as well. We do appreciate your service too.
And thank you to all of the amazing veteran guests that, Jamie, you worked so hard to bring onto the show for this special Memorial Day episode. Your service is appreciated. You are seen and appreciated. And I appreciate you, Jamie, for helping us bring all of this programming to our listeners. We've got some of those fabulous guests coming up next here on the Maggie Dawn Show. You're not going to want to go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Up next, we have couple of representatives from the Disabled American Veterans Association. Keep it locked. We're going to have such an important discussion next. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A British man was arrested after allegedly plowing a car into a crowd of thousands who'd gathered to celebrate a soccer victory in Liverpool. The BBC's Matt Cole watched first responders intervene.
You could see the ambulance which had stopped. That, I think, provided something of a natural barrier that sort of slowed the car down.
There are ceremonies across the U.S. on this Memorial Day. CBS's Jared Hill.
At Washington's Vietnam Memorial and in a parade along Constitution Avenue, tributes and salutes to those who fought for their nation and never made it home.
Memorial Day weekend air travel hit a bit of turbulence as storms in parts of the country caused delays. This passenger at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport takes it in stride.
With travel, you're going to have to be fluid.